Psalm number 119 is where we're singing, and at verse 17 we sing this section to verse
24.
Let us read in Psalm 130, 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And we shall now join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, at times we confess it is difficult to believe that God hears prayer and forgives sin. We are surrounded by such massive unbelief that all the weight of argument and wisdom and the resources of mankind, both in religious and secular things, weighted against us. And hardly anywhere do we hear a word spoken in defense and praise of the gospel, or a word spoken in defense of Christian people. Hardly anywhere do we hear even a sympathetic voice that, with a modicum of understanding or a minimum of understanding, comprehends what it is that we are trying to do as we preach the gospel out of the Bible. We acknowledge, Heavenly Father, that our hearers are few. We acknowledge that those who are saved seem to be very few. And yet we know that there is a great number going to be revealed in the last, and they will be beyond our computation. And we don't know where they come from or who they are, but the Lord knows them that are His. And that is where we rest our case this evening, because we have nowhere else to nail our colors to the mast, as it were, and take our stand. So we give thanks, Heavenly Father, that the Scripture is unchanging, and whether the societies receive or reject it, receive it in part and sympathize without commitment, we give thanks that the Scripture is written, and what is written remains written. And so this is our hope, this is our guide, this is our textbook, this is our manual of discipline, this is the rule book by which we learn how to believe and what to believe and how to live and what to do and what not to do in life. And so we give thanks once again, Heavenly Father, that we are reminded, in even in this reading that we have read from the Psalms already, that God is a merciful God, and that our only hope is in His Word. So we pray for strength and understanding further. We confess that basically we are ignorant. We don't know very much about anything really. And a great deal of what we do learn we forget so quickly. And we need to be reminded. We need to be awakened, we need to be illuminated to see the glorious gospel in the face of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it is a system of doctrine, things that we read about, things that stimulate our thinking, influence our living up to a point, but not to the point of plucking out our eye if it offends us, cutting off our hand or a foot if it offends us. Up to a point we follow Christ. But we confess, O God, that so often we part company with Him when we desire to go our own way and fulfill our own desires. This is our sin. And if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and calling God a liar. And the truth is not really in us at all. So we pray that we would come to the Scriptures to learn, to listen, to live in a manner that is increasingly separated from the old man and the old life, and increasingly united to Christ, walking in His love, walking in His light, following His footsteps, imitating Him, listening carefully to what He said and how He said it, and to say things that are akin to His utterances, and to walk in His ways as He sets before us the example of a sinless man who turned away from evil, resisted temptation, dealt with sinners in a manner that was filled with compassion, dealing with God in a manner that was filled with reverence and godly fear, and dealing with His people in the most tender and long-suffering manner, putting up with us when we hardly know how to put up with Him. We confess that we are the dupes of the devil, as our first parents were, and that we're engaged in a battle, a conflict, not with flesh and blood, but with the powers and the principalities of evil in high places. The devil, the liar from the beginning, the great deceiver, the arch enemy of God and of Christ, the great lion seeking to devour and destroy and work ravage among the people of God. And everywhere we know the scripture tells us the whole world lies in the darkness of the evil one. We find this an incredible thing to believe. But as we look around us, as we listen, as we observe, we see there is a somber truth, a very solemn and sad reality. And all around us, this world, according to the scripture, is walking in ignorance, knowing not God, knowing not the right hand from the left, for all the religion, all the piety that is man-made, man-directed, man-gratifying. And the scripture tells us that God is displeased with it all. Nothing that we manufacture for ourselves pleases God. And so we look into the scripture again and we find our hope in that work, not of our doing, not of our works of righteousness, but God's works of righteousness, God providing our propitiation, God loving us in such a manner. And this is our gospel that we confess again tonight, and we seek to learn more of it, and we seek to love it more. We love him because he first of all loved us, and we love him a little here and there, and we pray that we would love him more, and that our lives would be dominated by love, as his life was dominated by his love. So help us now to worship as we gather here yet again. May the good word of God be a good word for us, and may God's name be hallowed and glorified, that God would be exalted, that we would be humbled, and at the same time lifted up in hope and in confidence that all is well with our souls. This is our prayer, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We shall now read in Romans chapter 3, the letter of Paul to the Romans chapter 3, and reading the whole chapter. What advantage then has the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? No, indeed. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who takes vengeance? I speak as a man. No, indeed, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God has more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why am I yet also judged as a sinner, and not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose condemnation is just? What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission, the sending away of sins that are past, or the passing over of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith, without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, or the same one God, who shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? No, indeed. Yea, we establish the law. And so on. We continue to sing in Psalm 119, and from verse 25, we sing to verse 32.
My soul to the clear.